Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God who meets us where we are and invites us to a life of freedom and rejoicing. Amen. Today we continue our adventure through the book of Acts, and today is most certainly an adventure as we join Philip on a run. This isn't your average run around Lake Harriet or your Thanksgiving turkey trot. It's a run on a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this isn't your average road either. It's a wilderness road, the desert. It's dusty and it's noon at the heat of the day. Are you ready? Get your sneakers laced up. Here we go. To begin, it's worth noting that Philip doesn't decide on a whim to go running on this wilderness road. An angel of God commands him to do it. Get up and go, the angel says. Get up, you have work to do. Get up, you have news to share. Get up, you have been called to preach the gospel with all who want to hear it. The events that will unfold all stem from this first order. Get up and go. Philip follows instructions. He's a rule follower. He's on the road, walking or running, we can't be sure, and up ahead he sees a chariot. And again, an angel of God speaks to him. Go, catch the chariot, join it. Once again, Philip does as he's instructed, obedient to the word of God. You can imagine him picking up his pace to catch up with the chariot, pursuing it as sweat drips down his forehead as he awkwardly tries to remove the rock that has lodged itself inside his left sandal. As Philip gets closer, he sees a man reading a scroll. And here Luke fills his readers in on a few more details. The man reading is an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Queen of the Ethiopians, and he is in charge of her entire treasury. He is on his way home from Jerusalem, where he has been to worship. So let's pause here for a moment and unpack Luke's description. The Ethiopian eunuch is given no name, and these details remind readers of how very other this figure is. First, the Ethiopian is a eunuch, and he likely wasn't born that way, nor did he choose it for himself. In the ancient Near East, castrated males often carried major responsibilities on a royal court, for they could be entrusted to fulfill certain duties with little risk of defiling royal bloodlines. The eunuch's difference is marked further by his dark skin color and his homeland. He likely comes from the region of South Egypt, and for Luke's audience, this was basically the edge of the world, the end of the earth. As one commentator explains, his dark skin made him an object of wonder and admiration among Jews and Romans. This warns us not to consider the Ethiopian as a despised or deprived person, quite the opposite. He continues, "The eunuch is a powerful though exotic court official, a well-placed and significant person who is receptive to the truth." Indeed, the Ethiopian eunuch holds a place of power and importance as a trusted insider among the queen's court. And yet this foreigner has just come from Jerusalem, where he was worshiping the God of Israel, the same God whom Philip worships. As a Gentile, it's likely that there were some parts of worship at the temple that were not available to him. And as a eunuch, he may have been prohibited from participating in worship entirely. But neither of those details are mentioned here. All we know is that the Ethiopian leaves Jerusalem for his home, and he continues in his study of scripture and interest in this God of Israel. Perhaps he and Philip have more in common than it appears. Back to the run. Philip has caught up to the chariot and hears the Ethiopian reading from the prophet Isaiah. I love that Luke provides that insight. Not only does Philip see him reading from a scroll, but he hears him, a reminder to us of our need to read scripture out loud, both individually and communally. Well, then the questions begin. It's especially fun to imagine this conversation as Philip jogs next to the chariot, because as far as we know, he's still running. Philip asks the Ethiopian if he understands what he's reading, and the Ethiopian answers in the form of a question: how can I unless someone guides me? What follows is a lovely invitation. The Ethiopian invites Philip to join him on the chariot, and again Philip obliges, responding to the Ethiopian's invitation and hospitality with curiosity and likely some relief as his run is now complete. The two continue in their conversation, reading Isaiah together, as Philip shares with him the good news about Jesus Christ, telling the story of his death and resurrection, and perhaps unknowingly discovering that same gospel being proclaimed back to him. And then another fantastical, magical thing happens. Water appears in the desert. I like to think that the Ethiopian interrupts Philip and makes a bit of a scene, because really, it's a crazy thing to stumble upon an oasis on this wilderness road. Certainly, it's happened by God's design. Look, here is water. And then the final question the Ethiopian asks that brings this entire story to its beautiful fruition: what is to prevent me from being baptized? Of course, the answer is nothing. Nothing at all. For God's love is big enough for this Ethiopian eunuch, for this foreigner who is beloved just as he is. As theologian Willie James Jennings explains, God has come for the eunuch precisely in his difference and exactly in the complexities of his life. For God's love spans all differences, all longings, all deficiencies, and all desires. As my toddler son Bernie would say, it's big. And with the answer to that question lingering in the air, Philip and the Ethiopian climb out of the chariot, wade into the water, and Philip baptizes the Ethiopian. God meets them in the waters. The Ethiopian is named and claimed as a child of God, just as he is, with his questions and wonderings and convictions and truths, and his enthusiasm and gifts and joy. He has loved, known, and now joined to Christ and to Philip and to a whole host of others who have been washed in these same waters of love and mercy and grace. He is free. The story ends as it began, with the Spirit of God sending Philip on his way to minister somewhere else. And the Ethiopian, well, he departs the scene in joy. For by the work of the Spirit through Philip, he has been embraced by God, found in Christ, and now joined to the Spirit through baptism. What can he do but rejoice and share the story with others? Like most stories in the book of Acts, this is a story of God's love being made known to new faces and places and communities, of God's witness being shared and proclaimed to the ends of the earth. And in this particular story, we hear once again the promise of God's expansive and inclusive love. There is room for all, for Philip, for the Ethiopian, for you and for me. No one is left out. So where do you fit into this story? Maybe you feel a little like Philip, called into the unknown wilderness to meet people who are different than you, to join them in their questions and to embrace them in their belovedness. Maybe you are like Philip, transformed by new relationships as you discover that God's love really is big enough to hold all of us, even those who do not share your skin color or gender identity or Lutheran heritage or zip code. Maybe you've learned what it means to wrap your heart around the dreams of those who are forgotten or oppressed or marginalized. Or perhaps you feel like the Ethiopian, an outsider, different, like you don't fit into the binary categories the world creates for you, but you are eager to be yourself, the beautiful self that God created you to be. Perhaps you are like the Ethiopian, opening people's hearts and minds and expanding their imagination to bear witness to a gospel that is always emerging before us, revealing God's promise and commitment to this entire world. Maybe you found a way to delight in your gifts and celebrate the richness and diversity you bring to this world, just as God delights in you. Or maybe you're not sure where you fit into this story, and that's okay too. You might be back at the start of the wilderness road, looking for a map to guide you. Maybe you're running on the road already, but struggling to catch up to the chariot, uncertain of what risks might lie ahead. Perhaps you've joined the chariot, but have more questions and wonderings, or you've joined simply because you cannot run any longer. You might be in the lake with Philip and the Ethiopian, celebrating the joy of new friends in Christ, or maybe you are on your way rejoicing, living in the freedom of God's welcome and embrace. You might not know where you fit into this story, but you certainly have a place. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples as they were awaiting the gift of the Holy Spirit? He said, "You are witnesses of these things. Not you were witnesses, not you will be witnesses, but you are witnesses." Right now, in this very moment, wherever you are on the wilderness road, you are a witness. And now all you need to do is hear the Ethiopian's voice. "Look, here is water. Look, here is love. Look, here is life." And may God be with you all on the road. Thanks be to God. Amen.